And the person who's about to follow me here is someone who's inspired me. His name is Michael Copps. He is the former member of the Federal Communications Commission for 10 years. And I can say, as someone who's studied the Federal Communications Commission for my research, for my livelihood, he probably has the honor of being the single most distinguished member of that body in its 70 or 80 year history. Now, I have to also admit, Michael, being the most honorable member of the FCC, sort of like being, you know, the best ice hockey player in Malaysia. There's really not a lot of competition for that award. But having said that, I've gotten to know Michael Copps. He's probably the only member of the FCC who, upon leaving office, didn't go on to a seven-figure-a-year income working for a hedge fund that's doctoring telecommunication deals, but in fact is working for Common Cause. He's working with the public interest community to represent us, democratic values, and build a communication and media system that represents us, not investors on Wall Street and hedge fund dudes. So it's my honor now to turn the podium over to Michael Copps. Please join me in welcoming him.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning. Thank you, Baraboo. And let's hear it one more time for fighting Bob McChesney. What a champion for a media that could enhance our democracy instead of corrupting our democracy. And thank you to the progressive, the turbocharged new progressive, for taking the hard issues on and for telling the truth and calling out corruption under the Capitol Dome, whether that Capitol Dome is in Washington, D.C., or right down the road in Madison, Wisconsin. This state, my home state, is home to a long, proud line of progressives, from the great Bob La Follette to Russ Feingold. Many of the speakers here today, my friend Mark Pocan, who's going to be speaking shortly, representatives of the people who understand that real change comes not as a gift from Washington, D.C., but from the demands of citizens at the grassroots. Corporate influence peddlers have never strengthened this democracy of ours. It's folks like these and folks like you who have brought us expanded voter rights, civil rights, women's rights, labor rights, the minimum wage, clean air and water regulation, disability rights, and LGBT rights. In every fight, the forces allied against us have been formidable. 19th century robber barons and their latter-day copycats, the Koch brothers, to Wall Street's titans of banking and their hired help who dictate the writing of the laws in the inner sanctums of political power. But in the hour of action, whether in Selma or Stonewall or Madison, the people rallied. And now we must rally again. We must rally for many causes, but the one that stands out for me and the one I am here to ask you for your help is stopping internet gatekeepers and media monopolists before they unilaterally destroy our civic dialogue in the United States of America. Before they decide what news you can see and what news you're not going to see. Before they decide who can advocate online and who cannot. Whose messages are going to be slowed down, whose messages are going to be speeded up, whose are going to be outright blocked. Who are going to decide whether online fast lanes become the playground of the privileged few while the rest of us are consigned to the unequal opportunities of the slow lane. Here's the bottom line. We can't solve any of the daunting challenges facing our country right now with the media that we have right now. We can't even have an intelligent national dialogue about them when a corporatized media and a cableized internet continue dumbing down the news and information that are the essential prerequisites of democracy. And you know what? It's all on the line. It's all on the line right now. Our nation's chance for progress could be destroyed before the year is out because the Federal Communications, in the next few months, Federal Communications Commission is going to be making decisions that will determine whether the internet becomes a platform for 21st century democracy, or whether it goes down the same road of consolidation and corporate control that ruined so much of radio and television and cable. This commission is discussing whether to allow Comcast, already the largest cable company in the land, to buy its next largest rival, Time Warner Cable. As a commissioner, I voted against, and I was the only commissioner who voted against, Comcast's previous merger a few years ago with NBC Universal, because that deal represented too much power in the hands of one company. And now Comcast is back. 3 years later, they want even more. They want it all. And this is the same Comcast, by the way, that's a huge supporter of the notorious American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, and the same Comcast that's a major campaign contributor to both parties disrupting Democratic elections. Now they want to be not only the largest cable company in the United States of America, they want to be the largest, and they will be the largest, broadband internet provider too. And talk about a communications hammerlock. Now they're going to come and they'll promise all sorts of small bore goodies to grease the deal's approval, but make no mistake, if that deal is approved, that's a disaster for consumers, a disaster for diversity, and a disaster for local communities. Meanwhile, and this is even more important to me, the FCC is writing open internet rules, so-called net neutrality that you've heard about, that if implemented would be a catastrophe for citizens and a total short-circuiting of the awesome power and potential of the internet. Only those with deep pockets would be able to speak if they get their way or be heard. That local blog that you depend upon for information and for news could be consigned to the slow lane, might not even function at all. And these are the tools that allow you to tell your story. I watched on Twitter as citizen journalists, many of them in this crowd today, provided up-to-the-minute reporting on Scott Walker's campaign to undermine worker rights. I saw democracy in action as activists stormed Madison and demanded to be heard. That's real free speech. That's what we can empower with the open internet. Do you want internet gatekeepers censoring your online access?
No.
Do you want fast lanes on the internet reserved for the 1%?
No.
Do you want ALEC deciding who your internet service provider is going to be?
No.
Me neither. So, we must act now to preserve the open internet. The good news is we've started to make progress. More than 1.5 million people have already contacted the FCC, and cracks are beginning to appear. It's a beginning, but more is needed. And mark my words, the commission will only do the right thing if we, you and me, force it to do so. So instead of coming up with some fancy peroration to my talk today, I want to close with a call to action, something you can do right now. The FCC has extended the deadline for public comment on the open internet proceeding through Monday. So this is really your chance to have a say and make a difference. So I would like everybody in this audience to take out your smartphone, and I'd like you to go to www.commoncause.org/openinternet, www.commoncause.org/openinternet, and join us in telling the commission, and we'll make sure it gets the message by Monday, that you demand real net neutrality. You tell the FCC it must not hand over control of the internet to Comcast and Verizon and AT&T and the big online companies. And for those of you who want to learn more about this, Bob McChesney and John Nichols and I are going to be sharing some thoughts on it at a breakout session at 12:30, and I hope you'll come by. But just remember this, every issue we discuss today at Fighting Bob rides on getting our media right and keeping our internet open. And we can make that happen from the grassroots. So let's just do it. Thank you very much.